The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
When I was a kid, I was probably 12. This is a great story. Yes. I think I was 12, and there was an older, I don't remember who it was, an older Italian relative. And he was like, I don't know, 75 maybe. And not to stereotype, but the old school Italian guys, the old school Italian men from the old world, they kind of don't give a shit that much.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I'm chilling there. I'm like 12, maybe 11, and he goes to sit down, right? So as soon as he touches the chair, he goes, oh, right? And I'm like, oh, are you okay? Yeah. And he goes, ugh. He goes, I sat on my balls. And I'm like, what?
Like, what?
Because I'm 11, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking, I'm like, what? Like, I'm freaked out. Like, how the fuck
happen?
Did that? Like,
what is this?
Like, your balls are back there? Like, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
And he goes, you never sat on your balls? And I said, no. And he goes, don't worry, you will one day.
Yeah, because they're still inside you.
It stuck with me.
Yeah.
It stuck with me since then.
Can't wait till they drop.
I'm waiting for that to happen.
Gravity.
I have yet to sit
gravity
on
kicks in, bro. They hang low.
Jesus Christ.
They hang low.
So we should probably tell the
listeners
listeners that we're missing one Mind Pump member.
We are.
Adam's not here right now.
Yeah.
The
can we do our best impression of him?
Of
or is
Adam?
That going to be bad?
Yeah. So this reminds me of a story I was walking down the street and, chicks were basically telling me
right.
I was good looking and I was like, no, I'm not right now. I'm not carb loaded. And so I'm just kidding.
That reminds me of the time I was at this club, you know, and like I was just like, I just don't want to be noticed by, you know, I'm just like tired of girls, hot women always coming up and talking to me. And so I was just like, you know, trying to be like a fly on the wall,
yeah.
You know, but I couldn't.
But I couldn't.
I couldn't.
It's impossible.
I was too gorgeous.
No, he's where is he anyway?
I don't know.
Is it
Tahoe?
Oh, he's just a trip with a girl or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I was gone last week on vacation, and so I missed a couple sessions with you boys.
You know who holds strong, holds the fort down?
Doug, you, Justin,
me and Doug.
Yeah,
yeah.
You guys are always here.
D&J,
you guys,
D&J Hobby. That's a free plug.
You guys are like you're like the herpes.
We are.
You don't go away.
No, we kind of.
You're
know,
always there,
and we're very calculated. So if you have a big event coming up, we're gonna show up. Yeah. If you're trying to get laid, we're going to be
there. You're going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, so I was on vacation. I took the family we went to Legoland and SeaWorld. And
dude, that's awesome. How was it? Because I want to take my son.
Dude, it was a great, great time. I had a great time. However, it looks like I accomplished some pretty good bulking gains over the week. I gained 6 pounds, dude,
yeah.
In a week.
We talked about this because
yeah.
We're, like we said, we're kind of like, you know, girls in a sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, look at you, bro. Oh, look at you.
I'm like, I gained 6 pounds and Justin was like, no, you look good, bro.
It's like
you
good can't even pounds, tell. Though. It's yeah. good pounds. You're firm.
Fuck.
You're firm.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So I would eat, like, at night, we would make s'mores. So I'd have s'mores.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd drink during the day. And I finally found
classic.
An alcoholic beverage that I enjoy.
Which one is that?
Moscow Mule.
What's in that?
So it's not a sex act. I thought that's what it was. I ordered one and I was
like
expecting something.
Some weird donkey show.
And no, they brought out a drink. It's ginger beer, vodka, lime juice, and...
Ginger beer with vodka. That sounds like a fucking hangover.
I
want to
say
half.
No, dude, it was good.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good. So I had Moscow Mules, and then I'd throw in a Red Bull vodka every once in a while. And, you know, the kids are playing in the pool, and I'm just smashed.
While, yeah.
Watching them on the side
vacation.
Of the pool.
Vacation. Yeah.
And the kids are like, wow, Papa's having so much fun with us.
Why are you so smiley today?
Why are you so happy? You know. around 3 p.m. I'm like, all right, kids, we got to go back to the room and take a nap.
Everybody stop shouting.
Let's all take a nap.
Morning. Yeah.
So that was that. Pretty much it. I think we need to do a song.
We do.
Yeah. So I think, why don't you go and start and I'll throw in some.
If you like pina coladas and something in the rain.
It's like the worst song ever.
My only beat is the only beat that I know is that.
But yeah, let's just do a techno beat. I think the beatbox is usually better. Like,
yeah, it's kind of like a, it's a little porn feel to it.
Yeah, and then you got to be like,
yeah.
I was waiting on it, but.
You know what? I realize that me and Justin are the not serious ones.
That's what just happened, right? Yeah. I just noticed that too. Yeah.
Well, I was looking,
Adam usually like pulls us back in.
He does. Yeah. What are we gonna do?
I
look back at the last few episodes, and we should talk about fitness.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's time to get a little bit serious, but like, I don't know, maybe make fun of it afterwards.
All right. Okay. Let's do that. Let's talk about fitness a little bit. So, So one thing that I noticed, so I worked out in the hotel gym, which, as most people know, hotel gyms
terrible,
suck, really bad. But I made do, and I saw something I did not think I would see in a hotel gym. I actually saw
weights.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I did see a few weights, but I saw a guy in there working out, and he had the ILS, or otherwise known as wheelbarrow syndrome or imaginary lat syndrome.
Oh, I yes, okay. So I haven't heard the term ILS.
ILS, imaginary lat syndrome.
Gotcha.
So it's a medical term referring to the dudes that walk around in the gym, arms out, kind of flared out to their sides. It looks like they're holding an imaginary wheelbarrow,
mm-hmm.
or like if they have massive lats, but they actually don't.
Mm-hmm.
Shoulders are rolled forward,
right? And super protracted.
Yeah, and they're just walking around. And so then I thought to myself, I said, you know, we need to do, we should probably do an episode on common
deviations.
Yeah, muscle imbalances,
mm-hmm.
and correctional exercise, because we talk a lot about performance, how to increase performance and strength, and.
Mm-hmm.
Fat loss and muscle building.
And the sexual bedroom performance stuff.
That stuff too.
We cover that.
But we haven't really covered correctional exercise. And
mm-hmm.
I think people need to realize just how important that is for overall fitness.
Right. Cause it's, I mean, like we always kind of mention, like the common metaphor is building your foundation. And it not addressing these little issues as nuanced and as small as you might think that they are, could really grow and turn into something that's going to be, you know, a bigger problem. It's something that's really going to limit you as far as like how you're going to be able to build strength and how you're going to be able to move and be explosive and, you know, whatever it is your goal, you know, whether you want to build muscle or you're trying to like get better performance wise, it's really going to like stop you from getting to that place.
It will. And here, I mean, we'll start with the obvious. Okay. The obvious is injury. Okay. Mm-hmm. Muscle imbalances lead to injuries. Now, before I get into that, I think it's important we explain what a muscle imbalance is, because, you know, a common, some muscle imbalances are glaring. They're obvious,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them aren't so glaring and obvious. And they become so common that we don't even notice that they're imbalances. We think that's just how people move or, you know, the way we're supposed to look. But for all intents and purposes, a muscle imbalance refers to a recruitment pattern, a muscle recruitment pattern that is less than ideal. So a recruitment pattern refers to the way your muscles fire when they're doing a particular movement,
mm-hmm.
The order that in which they fire and which muscles do most of a movement and which muscles do less of a movement.
Right. Which are overactive, which are underactive.
Right. So
in terms of, yeah, we use a lot.
You think of all the muscles of when you do a squat or a push-up or a pull-up. There's a specific recruitment pattern that happens for those. And there's recruitment patterns that are ideal that are going to allow your joints to move in an ideal way. And then there's a less than ideal recruitment patterns that will place your joints and body in positions and in movements that are not conducive to long-term health and longevity when it comes to exercise. And so when you look at athletes or gym rats, injury becomes a huge factor because we're working out consistently for years, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, the average person doesn't work, you know, has trouble being consistent with the workouts. That's one thing. But then when you have guys like us or a lot of our listeners who work out week after week after week for years and years and years.
Repetitive movement. We're talking chronic, you know, issues that are going to come out of these deviations.
Yeah, you're going to encounter, eventually you're going to encounter a problem. And if you don't address it, it turns into an injury and that will stop your progress dead in its tracks. Mm-hmm. And you'll either A, have to avoid exercises altogether, which sucks, especially if it's an important exercise like a squat, or B, you'll have to stop working out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say something that it might be controversial, but the truth is that rarely do you need to completely stop exercise when you have an ache or a pain that's mm-hmm. due to exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, if proper correctional exercise will correct the issue and you won't need to stop your workout. And I think that's important to note because a lot of people are like, I had to stop working out my shoulders for 5 weeks because mm-hmm. I had a shoulder problem. When in fact, there would have been a better way to address
that issue. You're just really like shortening ligaments or you're shortening muscles and you're creating all this like wound up tension that's pulling like a rubber band. It's pulling it in the not optimal way, mm-hmm. right? And it sort of takes over and it's overactive. It's like, you know, when your knee starts tracking mm-hmm. and you realize that, dude, if I just foam roll my T-band and I alleviate a lot of this pressure, you know, I'm going to have that pain is going to subside. And I think that too, like it is tricky because, you know, we're not physical therapists and like, you know, MDs or, you know, stuff like that. So we don't want to like prescribe things for people when they have pains. But at the same time, you know, you can differentiate whether or not it's muscular or, you know, it's bone or, you know, ligaments or that kind of pain. Like there's a difference, you know, and there's like a sharp pain, you know, versus like, you know, more of an achy or like a more of a, even if it's a sharp pain and but it subsides, you know, it's not something that's like, I got to go to the doctor. You know?
Well, you can break most pain down into two categories, two general, and these are broad categories, but you can pretty much place pain into one of these categories. One is acute. Mm-hmm. Okay. And acute pain, an easy test, if you have a client or even yourself, you can assess this really easily. You know, if a client comes to me and says, my shoulder hurts, I'll say, well, how did you hurt it? Mm-hmm. If they say, you know, I felt a pop or I tweaked it or I fell
there's
or I twisted.
There's some huge impact.
Then that's acute. If they say to me, well, I don't really remember when I hurt it, but it just kind of bothers me when I do these types of motions.
Right.
And it's kind of been bothering me for a while now. That's chronic. Mm-hmm. And chronic pain is far more of that is due to muscle imbalance. Mm-hmm. Acute pain can be an actual injury in which
it could be a traumatic, you know, some kind of like collision or something that happened.
Yeah, you might have tore something or something like that. So that definitely would require rest. But most pain is chronic. Most of the time, you know, it's not something that we specifically did at one moment. It was just over time mm-hmm. we developed these issues. So I guess for you to assess yourself, you're right. We're not physical therapists, but you don't necessarily need to be one mm-hmm. if you kind of understand generally, you know, how joints function.
Right.
So like we'll start with the shoulders because I see shoulder issues as being the most common amongst gym rats.
Like one of the most complicated, you know, multifaceted, like it allows for like almost the most ranges of motion that, you know, you could provide out of a joint. How many ranges? They say like it's like five or six different, you know, variations. So I can, you know, I have rotator cuff in there, so I can turn and rotate.
You can rotate
my arm.
It internally, externally.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you twist. You can. I mean, there's just so many different pathways that you can move your arm through because your shoulder joint is so versatile.
It's super versatile. I'd say the next most versatile joint would probably be the hip. I mean, aside from the spine, of course.
Right.
And then you have joints that are very, you know, they just basically just flex and extend, like the elbow and the and the knee.
And what's really holding together your shoulder? I mean, this little collarbone. I mean, a lot of times I'll see like clients I have that are cyclists. You know, that's one of the first things that's going to break. There's just so much. It only takes so much force and.
You mean when they fall off
before,
the floor?
Yeah, exactly. Because they just all they do is they fall over. Their feet are you know, stuck into their pedals, and
that's the worst.
That's like one of the first things to go. And there's just not a whole lot of like really rigid, like bone structure there to combat any kind of like force and trauma. And two, it's one of the most used. You know, your arm, like especially with sports. You know, like think of pitchers and think of. You know, quarterbacks and, you know, whatever, like hockey,
any upper body,
anything
sport.
Upper body. Yeah. Just the repetitive movement of that is going to stress out all those ligaments. And
well, I mean, let's look at a common deviation or issue with the shoulder. You see people with what's called forward shoulder. Mm-hmm. And this is where, and just to exaggerate this particular deviation, it would be with someone's whose shoulders are kind of rolled forward. Now that's in a common individual, somebody who maybe doesn't work out, or even people who do work out, you'll see it in its extreme form. But then again, you see this in people who work out a lot, and this will be when they go do a back exercise or a pressing exercise, and they don't get good what's called scapular retraction and depression. Mm-hmm. So let me explain what that means. The shoulder joint is in its most mobile position, or I guess it moves best when it's retracted and depressed. So mm-hmm. that means when the shoulder blades are down and back. Mm-hmm. When they're down and back and away from the ears, you have a very good full range of motion and it's in a relatively safe position. When it's shrugged or rolled forward, lots of issues can happen. Things from impingement of the, you know, infraspinatus muscle or the supraspinatus muscle. You get bicep tendon inflammation. Mm-hmm. You know, rotator cuff, you know, issues along the rotator cuff, which is along the scapula. So if you have shoulder issues, one of the best ways to address it is to focus on exercises that strengthen that shoulders down and back position.
Right. Yeah, it's supporting that. And it's almost like you're shortening it to that optimal length, right? So you want that scapular retraction. You want to work on those rhomboids and strengthen, you know, that posterior part of the shoulder. And that counters a lot of normal posturing throughout your day too. So
you sit in front of your computer, you're shoulders forward.
You're even just sitting in a chair, like what do you normally do? You're leaning forward. We're always talking to people in front of us, right? And so if we're talking to people in front of us, this leads to, you know, that posturing where everything else is sort of like hunched forward. You know, you get that forward neck, you know, and that creates other deviations. And so like there's cues that we look for as trainers too. Like, so if our shoulders are coming up and my trapezius is really tight, you know, that's something that we want to address, just like you said, with the scapular retraction and everything else and pulling everything down for optimal length. But then you look at something like, say I'm a boxer, right? How are boxers posturing?
Yeah, you need to shrug
you
your...
You need to have your...
You want
to
cover your chin.
You want to cover your chin. And so it's like certain sports, I think, too, like that... When you go out of sports, especially, like it's really hard to sort of... address all these things that happened as a result of your sport.
Well, yeah, with a boxer, I would still focus on retraction and depression of the scapula just because it offsets what he's always doing.
Yeah,
what
he or
she's always doing in the ring.
Same thing I would do with, you know, pitchers, you know, and I have them throw a ball backwards along the same trajectory.
Oh, yeah, opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah, so here's the deal. So when I say this to people, especially to people who are experienced in the gym but aren't necessarily experts or in correctional exercise or trainers, they just work out a lot. When I say to them, you need to work on bringing the shoulders down and back, the first thing they do is say, oh, okay, I'll do more rows. And yes, if you do a row, theoretically, that's what you're working on. However, here's the difference between correctional exercise versus exercise for muscle building and for performance. When I'm trying to build muscle, I'm using a weight that is challenging. I am pulling, I am giving myself, I have to work out at a certain intensity to stimulate muscle growth. When I'm working for correctional exercise, I'm not looking for muscle growth. I'm looking to change the recruitment pattern. Here's the difference. If I take a guy, and I've done this a million times, if I take a guy or girl who's got that poor, you know, recruitment pattern in the shoulder, and they're getting that forward shoulder, the shrugged shoulder, like you said, and I have them do heavy rows, you know how they're going to row the weight? They're going to row the weight with their shoulders shrugging.
Shrug, yeah.
Because that's their recruitment pattern. So if they just do more rows, if they say, if they listen to what I say and they say, fuck it, oh, cool, I'm going to go do more rows then.
Oh, that's a great point.
All they're doing is strengthening the imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
They're not correcting the imbalance.
Well, because your body, yeah, your body too is like, it wants to make things, the way that you're posturing, it wants to enhance that. And it wants to improve, basically wants to make it easier. So if you're lifting weight, your body's like smart enough to want to make, you know, that less challenging for you based off of like how you're already structured and how your length and tension relationship is established.
Exactly. Great, great point. And so with that individual, what I would say is no. For when you do your rows, let's say you use 150 pounds on the cable row, I want you to use 70 pounds, something that is light for you, maybe even 50 pounds. And what I want you to do is I want you to focus specifically on that downward and back squeeze of the scapula.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be challenging in terms of the weight. The form might be challenging, but the weight's not going to be challenging. But what it's going to do is it's going to teach your muscles to fire differently.
Yes.
So let me explain what happens when you're, why your body starts to shrug or why it'll continue to shrug. If you've always shrugged when you've done these rows, what's happening is, and just like what Justin was saying, your body doesn't understand muscles. It understands movement.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm, what I'm telling my body is to pull the weight back. If my downward and back squeeze is weak, because let's say my rhomboids are weak or my mid trapezius is weak, my body doesn't say, okay, we need to strengthen those muscles. It says I need to pull the weight back. So it calls upon the next available muscle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's the upper trapezius.
Right.
And so I'm going to continue to strengthen that imbalance. So we got to lighten the weight and correct that form. And then what it does is it changes the way your body recruits muscles. And then eventually over time, I move up to that heavy weight again, but now I'm strengthening the, I'm working on the imbalance. I'm correcting my recruitment pattern and I'm building muscle.
And it's a, that's a great point. And it also like highlights how when you have an injury, how those recruitment patterns change. Because, you know, your body's efficiency is the priority, right? With movement.
Right.
And so, you know, as I'm going and rehabilitating that, I want to focus on realigning that pathway and getting that recruitment pattern again so that, you know, you can get the right muscles involved with the movement. So, you know, and this is hard because, you know, a lot of times people have surgeries and things, and especially like, you know, I noticed with some clients that have had like a C-section or, you know, something like that, where like, oh, it's really hard to establish that again with the
abdominals. Connection to the muscle.
That connection. But it's so vital to then, you know, supporting the movement, you know, like later on. So if you're not addressing that and you're just trying to, you know, get back into shape, and getting into shape is the priority, you know, you're going to experience other types of injuries as a result of that, because now you're not recruiting the right muscle groups to support your spine. And really supporting your spine is of the highest priority. And then, you know, out of that is, you know, as far as like, you know, turns into aesthetic, but also like, you know, we can, I don't know.
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
And a lot of, and here's the thing, besides injury, you'll build more muscle and perform better if you correct these imbalances. So even if you don't have injuries, even if you feel fine, if your recruitment patterns aren't optimal, you will limit your ability to get stronger and to improve. And I'll give you another example.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot count how many times I've had athletes come in, or people who work out a lot come in and increase their bench press by 5%. Not because they've built more muscle. I'm talking about in the same session. Like, I'm like, we're going to start training right now. And 30 minutes later, you're stronger in your bench press. Why? Because I'm able to put your body in better positioning with your form,
mm-hmm.
with your bench press. This is true for almost any.
You get more muscle activation.
Better muscle activation, better form, and over time, you're going to build more muscle. So if you're having issues with, you know, some of these big, you know, multi-joint movements like squats or deadlifts or whatever, a good thing to do would be to lighten the load and perfect your form and look in the mirror and have people assess you and say, okay, I'm not activating these muscle groups. I'm going to go light and perfect this and add weight only when it's perfected, and then add weight. And if my form goes down again, back off on the weight. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, if you do that, you'll get better results in the short term, not just in the long term, but in the short term. You know, you brought something interesting up about, you know, like core activation, like when women get C-sections after pregnancy or even, I'll give you another one. This one's interesting. So I learned this from a physical therapist friend of mine years ago, and it blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. So we know, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but a muscle contracts best when the muscle fibers, you know, without getting too technical, within a certain range of motion, your muscles are gonna be the strongest. If you put a muscle,
it's like your strength curve, right?
Right. Yeah. And if you put a muscle in a deep stretch, it's not going to be as strong. So, for example, if you take your pec and you stretch it as far as you possibly can, and then try and lift heavy weight with it, you're not going to be as strong as if you start in the middle.
Right.
Okay. So now let's talk about weight gain, especially in men, where men will gain lots of body fat in our belly, but not on top of the muscle, underneath it, the visceral body fat. Mm-hmm. And we all know that guy with the big belly where you poke his belly and it's hard because there's fat underneath it. What is that body fat doing? It's pushing the abdominals out and stretching them out. They are losing core stability simply because of the inflammation and fat underneath the abdominals that's stretching it out. Now, women don't necessarily typically store lots of visceral body fat in the gut. However, women will typically suffer from lots of gut inflammation, even more so than men. And you'll hear women say, like, I feel bloated, or my belly feels bloated. This will also reduce core stability. And so what goes along hand in hand with this is back pain. And I've had people reduce back pain by reducing gut inflammation, because now their core muscles can fire better. And so when you get someone who's got a distended belly, we can really work a lot on trying to activate the core. But if we don't reduce that distension or that inflammation, it gets very difficult.
That's so crazy. I mean, that just brings it right back to why nutrition is so, like, symbiotic with the whole training experience. You know, if you're... Because a lot of people think of nutrition as just a way to get leaner, not necessarily performance, right? I mean, because if you sort of load up on sugar and all this before an event, obviously you're going to get a spike and you're going to get this surge of energy temporarily, right? And you're going to crash. But, I mean, just the inflammation, like, over time and the chronic toxicity levels of your body, you're going to end up having to fight all that intrinsically. Whereas, you know, if you address that, like, your overall body performance will enhance, because now your body doesn't have to fight so hard internally with all this stuff going on, and it's going to be more optimal. And I'm sure your signal would be louder, right?
And so if we apply that on a systemic, you know, scale, the whole body, think of chronic inflammation now, what it's doing to the rest of your body's ability to fire muscles properly. And you see now why, you know, I've had so many clients, like I said, we'll reduce their inflammation. They haven't lost weight or anything. We really haven't even worked out at this point that much, but they'll notice less pain in areas like their back and their neck or whatever, because muscles are able to fire more optimally because they're not so inflamed. So this is the correctional kind of aspect. And I place that in the correctional exercise category. This is a very important part, and it's not as glamorous as, you know, training to look a certain way, or it's not as fun as seeing, you know, big weights move up in the gym, but it contributes heavily to those two things. So, you know, we can talk about the knee. Let's talk about the knee first. So we just talked about the shoulder. And so I would say, in a nutshell, the ability for your shoulder blades to pinch down and back is kind of a cure-all when it comes to chronic shoulder pain. Now, it's not going to fix everything, but everything from shoulder impingement issues to bicep tendon inflammation to rotator cuff issues, mm-hmm. that ideal position will benefit those. Let's talk about the knee now for a second, right? The knee is not nearly as complicated as the shoulder. It only really does two things. It flexes and extends.
Flex, extend. I mean, it obviously is has stabilizing components. So if you're in a single leg situation or whatnot, or like lateral forces and transverse, so, you know, it can adjust to that. But its main function is that
flex
hinge.
And extend.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about the knee. The knee rarely operates on its own in movement. 99% of the time, your knee, if you're doing something that involves your knees, you're also doing something that involves your hips and your ankles to a lesser extent, but mainly your hips.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many times, I would say the majority of times that I've encountered knee issues with clients, and I'm not talking about an acute injury like a tear or whatever, just chronic pain.
It's involved with the hips.
It's a weakness in the hips.
Yep.
It's a weakness or an imbalance in the hips, either tightness mm-hmm. or the fact that the hips are not firing optimally. So I'll give you an example, right? The hip joints twist. I can twist my leg. I can turn my foot out and turn it in, what's called external internal rotation mm-hmm. with my hips. My knees don't do that. My meniscus holds my knee in place from twisting.
Mm-hmm.
However, if my hips are super tight and I'm trying to do twisting movements in everyday activity, my meniscus is going to have to stabilize the shit out of my knee.
Right.
And so you'll get meniscus issues and pain. And this will reveal itself with clients who say, like, I don't know what I did, but my knee just gets swollen sometimes. And a lot of times I'll look at their hips and notice that they're tight mm-hmm. as hell on their hips. And so it must be their meniscus that's getting tight.
God, I swear the go-to, and this is just, it holds true with almost everybody in the population I've trained, like, It's like the piriformis just takes so much stress.
Yeah.
And like, if we address that, and like, it just helps to alleviate so much of that tension that's really drawing everything out of this optimal biomechanic situation. But yeah, a lot of times, like knee pain, it's just like this immediate result of the hips, you know, being out of alignment or not, you know, doing its optimal function.
Yeah, I would say, you know, in that particular issue, like I said, when I'm training clients or athletes, I focus a lot on proper hip extension. You know, the posterior mm-hmm, mm-hmm. chain, the glutes and the hamstrings and how they're firing. So
that's one of the main things. So Dr. Ed Thomas, he's done wonders with like physical education in Iowa. And I hold a lot of respect for him. He's like almost like the father of physical education. Some things I picked up from him as far as movement is concerned, just frequently placing the body into full extension. It's so important to do that because, you know, you think of, like I said in the beginning, how everything is so in front of you and forward and the posturing of everything, the arms are down, you know, just taking your body and sort of in full extension and getting that out of the hips and knees and it's just it helps to counteract a lot of those forces.
Well, I think let me explain, because I'm sure some listeners are getting confused with what we mean when we say extension.
Mm-hmm.
So when Justin says extension, so flexion at the hips would be, if I'm standing straight up, flexion would be me flexing down to touch my toes.
Mm-hmm.
Extension would be coming up. Okay.
Yep.
So hip extension is me taking my leg, keeping it straight, and kind of kicking my heel back with my whole leg, like I'm doing like a butt, like a kickback, if that makes any sense. Whereas a flexion would be bringing my knee up, or bringing, you know, my knee up to the front of my body.
Right.
Okay. So hip extension, bringing my leg back, hip flexion, bringing my knee up.
Mm-hmm.
So hip extension is the glutes, hamstrings, and
or if you just think about humping,
yeah, there's a lot of extension.
There's a lot of extending when you're humping.
If you don't do full extension with the full hump, you're missing.
Listen,
you're missing a full inch or so.
Not only, like I said, I gotta bring back to the sexual.
We
hump.
Were serious.
I know. I was like, that was quite a run. I need to spice it up a little bit. Humping.
So, like, if you look at a squat, if you look at someone doing a squat. believe it or not, we think of squats as this quad exercise. You're working your quads a lot. The hips are doing a lot more, or at least they should be doing a lot more of the load than the knees. If the hips are weak, you're going to put more load on the knees. So if you have issues with your knees, you should be focusing on like single leg toe touches or single leg deadlifts mm-hmm. or stiff legged deadlifts or hip bridges mm-hmm. or exercises that strengthen that extension part.
Right.
Then you go back to doing your squat and you'll see that your knees probably won't bother you as much.
Yeah.
When you're doing your barbell squat. Seat.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, this goes to everybody. Correctional exercise should be something that's always in your back pocket. And when you're noticing an issue with, you know, aches or pains and you need to really warm up a lot of a particular joint, it's probably in your best interest to focus on correcting the issue before you move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you another example with, I'll use presses again with rotator cuff issues. And you're seeing more people do this now. More people are kind of hip to this, is strengthening the external rotators of the rotator cuff. Mm-hmm. So in layman's terms, those are the muscles that if I put my arm out to my side, like I just did a side lateral, it's twisting. So I'm twisting my thumb up and then twisting it back. Mm-hmm. The muscles that rotate my arm out are the external rotators. And there are exercises that can strengthen that particular movement, which tend to be weak in people who just do lots of bench presses and shoulder presses.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be, you know, I'm standing straight up, I grab a cable, my arm is bent at 90 degrees, and I just rotate my arm out. I'm just twisting out and then letting the weight come back in and twisting out.
I also do that, yeah, with a rubber band.
With a rubber band.
Tie it onto a squat rack.
Or even a dumbbell.
Like right.
I had a guy not that long ago add 15 pounds to his bench press just because he added that.
Right.
All he did was add.
Or let me do a little plug here. Indian clubs.
Indian clubs are excellent for the shoulders.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You get a lot of the internal, external stabilizers. You know, working on that, which then contributes to strength and all your heavy lifts.
It's just, I don't know. I guess this is why I've kind of fell in love with them is just because I've gone through so many programs for strength training and everything performance based.
You're talking about the Indian clubs you work out with, not the Indian clubs you go out and party at.
No. Bale, bale, bale.
You can find Justin at the Indian clubs.
Hey, I get down.
Dude, that song was ridiculous.
I get down, man. Bollywood all day.
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
Indian clubs.
So Indian clubs, why I fell in love with them was because I haven't found anything else that really matched the ability that, you know, the human body has at the shoulder joint, like, you know, with the Indian clubs. It's this fluid circular motion that you're not going to ever experience just by pressing, you know, stationary weights or even kettlebells. Kettlebells do a decent job at allowing, you know, more rotation in the wrist, more rotation, elbow, you know, shoulder. But it just helps to really just establish that fluidity and get that joint, that kind of movement that it needs. And then it adds just enough stress. So it adds just enough of a load to, enhance that movement and basically build more strength with that. Right. So if you think of, gymnasts or, you know, they have like crazy flexibility, but somehow they're super strong in that flexibility. And that's an extreme example because they have trained their body in a very extreme way to be able to get, you know, crazier range of motion than any normal person is capable of. So anyway, this is just a way to counteract a lot of like deviations as well and strengthen, you know, the whole shoulder blade and the whole shoulder joint and everything. So,
well, I would say, because I've had people ask me, well, how do I make sure that I don't get, you know, injured, or how do I make sure that I don't have to encounter an issue where then something hurts and then I have to try to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Because once you start to have that pain, to try to correct it, you need to have a little bit of knowledge on how to do so. Now, obviously, this is what we do for a living, so we know how to do this. But for the average person, here's what I would recommend. Every few weeks or so, dedicate one workout or maybe even a week of workouts to perfecting your form and your range of motion on exercises.
Yes.
So one way to do this would be to film yourself with your iPhone or whatever, doing a squat, a deadlift, a bench press, an overhead press, a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe have a workout partner film these from behind and from the side. Watch them and be really critical of them and put them next to videos or pictures of what, you know, are demonstrated to be perfect form on those.
Or, okay,
mm-hmm.
just get on our forum.
Of course.
And we will help critique, because that's one of the I think the
greatest
benefits that we've had, with a lot of the members in there that are doing a deadlift or a squat and they want a quick little form check. And, you know, we're usually pretty good about...
Oh, yeah. We've had about at least 5 people post videos of themselves doing
it. And other trainers, and everybody kind of chimes in together, like, you know, to help articulate little things you probably don't see, you know, because as much as we want to work out, you know, and be a renegade, you know, and just do it all by yourself, like, it benefits you to have people, you know, that are knowledgeable, give you, like, real valid critiques. And it'll just help to enhance your lifts the next time you go do it.
It does. And if you're listening and you're not on the forum, I mean, we suggest you get on there. But if you're not and you post a video of yourself doing a squat or a deadlift or whatever, go ahead and, you know, just tag Mind Pump.
Right.
And, I mean, we'll try to get to it. We have a lot of people at the moment that have been asking questions and stuff. But we'll try to get to it. But if we can... I have no problem.
Yeah,
I mean, Justin and Adam
try. Yeah, definitely try. We always try to help people. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in our little ecosystem or not. Like people on the, in the gym will come up and ask me. So if I have a second of time available, I'm going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that we don't always have that. But you know, at the same time, like, we're definitely there for you guys, and that's why we're doing this show. We're not getting paid, you know, to do this show. I always feel like I have to reiterate that, though, because, like, you listen to a lot of podcasts, and you know, we have apparel, and we have all these different things, but, like, we're not making any money.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, and you know, so just keep that in mind, you know, like, we're putting a lot of time into this. And,
well, I mean, we've almost convinced Adam to let us whore him out.
Yeah,
and I think we can make some.
Well, we're getting creative, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, like, I think we can make some money.
Oh, this reminds me. I was just hearing about this documentary. It's like Trophy Kids, and they in there they're talking about like these crazy ass parents that were taking like athletes who had like genetically awesome calves or whatever. Like, so they get them to like. Go to the sperm bank and donate, if you will. And then they, you know, take that and inseminate.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that's like the crazy.
Wow.
Parent that exists now.
How much would someone need to pay you?
I'm available. I got some rocking calves, you know, like,
bro.
Yeah, it's like $900 they're paying these people.
When I hear that, there's only one thing that pops in my head is
Mind Pump Fund.
Is how much money I could have made just last week. it's a lot of wasted.
It is a lot of wasted materials, right? Yeah. It's valuable. I didn't even know it was valuable.
Let me do the math. Carry the zero, carry the one. I'd be worth a couple $1 trillion by now.
At least.
If I start back when I was, 13.
Depends on. And then if you take that supplement you mentioned a long time ago, the volumizer.
Seminal volume. What was the other one?
Oh,
I don't remember.
That was my ball fill.
Or ball like refill.
Boom. Probably my favorite supplement.
Yeah,
ever.
No imbalance there. No muscle imbalance there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Why is my right forearm so much bigger than my left?
Repetitive motion. Yeah. Repetitive motion all day.
So,
you know what you need to do?
We'll go back up.
Get your stranger involved.
Get the stranger.
Get the stranger. Stranger.
Is
danger.
That when the hand falls asleep?
Yeah. Well, no. That's. Yeah, I guess so.
Jesus Christ. We can't stay serious for too long.
No.
All right. I guess to leave off, I would say focus 1 to 3 workouts every 4 or 5 weeks on just correctional exercise, lightweight, perfect your form, and you will build more muscle. You'll definitely, you know, look better. But more than that, you'll avoid injury for a lot longer.
Establish those, you know, recruitment patterns and see what it does for your days where you want to really press it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.